as it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now we'll be led in our first song.
Number 633, how long has it been? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart in secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you laid on your knees till the light shone?
Bow us all for prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thankful for this beautiful day you've granted to us to enjoy, especially that you allow us to assemble this morning in these quiet surroundings to sing these songs of praise and study from thy divine will. We're mindful of those who are not able to be with us this morning due to illness. We pray, Father, you watch over and bless them. You grant them the health once again. They'll take their places with us here. We're mindful of those who may be traveling away from us. We pray, Father, you watch over and give them safe passage to and from their destination. We thank thee so much for thy Son, Father, who is willing to come to this earth and give us life for our sins. And we pray, Father, for those who have never named thy name, that you'll grant them time and opportunity to do so before it's everlastingly too late. We pray your blessings on the teachers this morning of the classes. We pray that they'll have a ready remembrance of the lessons they prepared. Help us as students listen attentively, make an application in our lives where we be stronger for thee. We pray you bless Doug this morning as he breaks unto us the bread of life. Also, Father, with a ready remembrance of his lesson, we pray, Father, he have a long use of life in thy service and souls be saved from his efforts. But we know, Father, at times we say and do things we shouldn't, we leave undone things we should do. We pray you forgive us this time. Continue now with us through this hour, through this day, and through this week. Help us, Father, be shining lights to those who are still lost. For we offer this prayer in your Son's holy name. Amen.
morning. It's good to see you here this morning. As I looked out over the audience, I just come to the conclusion this is a pretty smart class. Not a bad looking class, too, except for maybe a couple exceptions. There's always Junior and Freddie that you have to kind of overlook. But we're glad that you're here. We're in the 21st chapter of Ezekiel. And somebody said, "Are we going to make it through it?" Yeah, we'll make it through it. Doug's doing the best he can. He's doing a pretty good job. Not as good as I am, but he's doing a good job. He'll come along. You know, what Ezekiel brings us out to, man has plunged his manner of life by sincerely reforming to God. We would probably say repentance. God will purge him from the guilt thereof by forgiveness. And we've seen that. So as we repent, we can expect God to forgive us. Now, one thing I notice over the years, we have to forgive ourselves too. I've talked to a lot of people and they struggle to do that. But when we come to the conclusion that God's going to forgive us, then we need to forgive ourselves. And that goes without saying the brethren involved. The primary object of all scripture discipline is the possibility of reforming the sinner. I don't care what you look at in the Bible, but that's God's purpose behind the discipline. We talk about what he's about ready to do to the children of Israel, and that's what that's for too. And even in the course of our lives and stuff, I don't know about the providence of God, what all he does, but I know he's active and he's involved, and that's his purpose behind the discipline with us, is to bring back the repentance of the sinner. He doesn't want to punish any of us. God does not attain any pleasure out of the punishment of his creatures. And this is brought out several times. But inflicts it solely for their good. For the children of Israel. And it's going to be their fault. It's not God's fault. You know, we start these lessons and God always says to Ezekiel, "Thus saith the Lord." I wonder why he does that. "Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me saying." Why does he start his paragraphs off like that? God wants us on the same page, one way we would put it. That's the reason we have the gospel. That's the reason God reveals the gospel to us. He wants us here. If you look at about three or four verses before we get to 21, Doug brought this out, but this goes with chapter 21, I think, and it's talking about Israel immediately judgment in Ezekiel the 20th. Chapter 45 through 21 and 7. 45 says, "Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your faith towards the south." Where is Ezekiel at now? Well, he's in captivity now. South will be Judah, and they are getting ready go to the third and final order of captivity. preach against the South and prophesize against the forest land of the South. That's the forest land. And say to the forest of the South, hear the word of the Lord. We would say somebody, well, the Lord wants us on the same page. We're together. Okay? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree and every dry tree in you. Talking about Jerusalem and Judea, and the temple is going to be destroyed in this. Going to leave the idea that it's all gone. They will not have no more earthly king or so forth, and it will be. They're going to be, what feud is left is going to be taken into captivity. Okay? And the blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all of the faces from the south to the north shall be scoffed by it, by the flame and by the fire. Symbolic speaking, I think he's talking about. But they're going to get the point. From the north to the south, we would say, like Kentucky, from Louisville to Bowling Green, and everything in between. Well, that's what's going to happen here. And all flesh shall see that I am the Lord. When he's talking about all flesh, what is he talking about? Yes, not only Israel, his people, but the surrounding countries will recognize the divine judgment of God. And we need to keep this in mind. That's going to answer some questions, I think, later on for us. Okay? I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, ah, Lord God. They said to me, does he speak in parable again? Is he, to me, is he off on a tangent again? Where it's a parable or not, but God teaches that away. He had throughout the whole history of it, you know. But if it is a parable, that's fine. It'll still be the truth. If it's not, it'll still be the truth. Okay? So that's what he's bringing to mankind now. In verse 21, and the word of the Lord came to me, that God, speaking to Ezekiel, saying, son of man, set your faith toward Jerusalem, preach again the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, we're down to the end. I'm bringing you this gospel through my prophet, so that we all know we're together in this. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you. Boy, if the Lord's against you, what would you, who can be with you? That's terrible, isn't it? We never want the Lord against us. Behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword. He uses the sword taken out of the scabbard here, symbolic, like through the, as we'll see later on, the judgment that he's going to bring up. And God is the originator of this. The sword is symbolic of the Chaldean army, I think. It's polished. It's waving around in the air. It's greater than wood. And God says, you know, this is coming. Okay? But I will cut off both the righteous and the wicked from you. Therefore my sword shall go out of the sea against all flesh from south and to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn the sword out. Then, let's see, is this where he says that? It shall not return anymore. Does that remind you of that? Yes, ma'am.
By God. God is using them know, here we know that God did use because he did that a lot.
Yes, he did. God was involved with the nations all around and everything. We can see history a lot better than when we live in it. Does he do that today? Well, you set your own opinion, but I thank God through his providence and care, still in charge, still takes care of things, still in God's hand. He says that his sword will not return. What did that ring a light bulb in your mind like it did mine? 2-3 things. First thing is, it's going to accomplish what God intended for it to do. Second thing, I think it's Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 is a pretty easy chapter. Down around verse 12, 13, he talked about his word would not return to him like null and void without accomplishing the purpose. That shows you that God still knows what he's doing. God is still there. God will always be there. God is in charge. The sword will not come back. He's sending the sword, symbolic of the danger, and he sent the word, and he doesn't expect his word come back to him null and void without confidence in what does. God works through his word. We have to have faith in that. We got to believe that. And that's how God shows it. So he's telling Ezekiel now. He said, I'm going to give you my word. And he said, I'm telling you, aside, oh man, sir, the son of man, with a breaking heart and aside with bitterness before your eyes. This is how bad it's going to be. When it comes, it's going to be bad. Okay? And it shall be when they say to you, why are you sighing? That you will, you shall answer because of the news. When it comes, every heart will melt. All hands will be feeble. Every spirit will be faint. All knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. On the way to church Wednesday night, we stopped at Ryan's and ate. My three grandchildren and myself. And I seen a guy that a lot of us knows, Ray Thomas. Ray Thomas was like that. He was all humped over and had the bed wrong. I'm not making fun of Ray. That's just the way he is now. Ray kind of reminds me of my father. Good old country boy. Ray knows a lot about about insurance. My dad knew a lot about real estate. Virginia worked with Ray. She's a lot like my mother. Wasn't too equipped. Didn't have no degrees in anything, but she done the best she could in there. And I told Cindy about it. I imagine Ray probably getting close to 90. They shouldn't be out, to my opinion. And I looked over and I seen Ray. Ray come up to the counter, you know how he always does, and he just going on a bunch of nothing. I couldn't even get business taken care of. And I looked over and I didn't see Virginia. And pretty soon I seen Virginia. She came and she had a big chocolate ice cream cone. That ice cream cone was that tall. I told Cindy, it had chocolate wrapped around. I said, they're going through their second childhood. And boy, she had a big chocolate ice cream cone. That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad they're there. But it's dangerous. But this is a situation. When I read this, I thought about Ray Thomas, about him being bent over like that. And that's the way God said, I'm going to leave you people when you get that. You're going to be like that from the news. The end of chapter 20 sets the stage that will follow in chapter 21. Okay? Ezekiel starts out with another parable which may be entitled the Force Far. Will you want to do that or not? Don't make no difference. I don't get wrapped up in when we start talking about these symbolic terms. I can see it to be a lot more than one thing, but if you don't see it that way. That's fine. Dwayne told me just let it go. Just tell them they need to go back and read the Bible a little bit more. You know? My dad used to say, when you get down and dig it out, that meat stays to the bone. It sticks with you. Then just sit there and listen to somebody tell you about it. So, I don't expect you to work in this class like I am. I got up 3 o'clock Saturday morning and finished my lesson because it was bothering me. And I couldn't sleep. And I didn't have it done. And it was Saturday already. You know. But when you dig like that, it sticks to your bone. It stays with you. All right? And he added a song. We're going to see a song coming with the forest, far, symbolic in nature, about a sword dealing with the word of the king of Babylon. And the sword which will fall upon Ammon. This is God's symbolic punishment. Okay? And in another revelation from the Lord, Ezekiel was told to direct his attention towards the south. See, that's what's left. Jerusalem is left, Judah's left, and the temple is left, but it won't be too much longer. A few more years and it's going to be gone. He was preaching the word of the Lord in that direction. Why? I'd already said it. So they'd be on the same page. Okay? Judah is the force of the south. At least I get it that way. I wouldn't be so dogmatic to say that's the only thing, but that's what it is. Which Ezekiel was to address. This fire is kindled by God. God is the originator behind it. Fire here is symbolic of the Chaldean army. Am I going to be so dogmatic to say that's the only thing? No, but I see that there. And when you're dealing in symbolic terms, you got to make sure, first thing, it doesn't contradict any place else in the Bible. And the second thing, you can't be so dogmatic about it. Because I can read 5 different things on this, and I have 5 different things that people say. What few righteous there was have been, every green tree. I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but that fits the thing. There are some righteous people there, and to me, that's the green trees in this reading. As well as the hardened sinner, the very dry tree. Is that the only thing it could mean? No, it's not the only thing it means, but that's what it means to me. Would be affected by the fire. You say, well, I'm going to have a little problem with that. Well, I did too. You got the righteous dealing with in the judgment here. But we'll see if we can explain that a little bit.
Charles, I always thought of it as a green tree is one that's living, and a dry tree is one that's dead.
I wouldn't argue that.
But it's dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that.
It also goes back to their spiritual, a reflection of spiritual qualities. Or at least the green tree has the opportunity to come out. The green tree has the opportunity to turn and repent. But if it's a dead tree, it's dead.
It's dead. Dead means dead, doesn't it? That's what sin does to you. I wouldn't argue that one bit. Okay? They would be seared by the hot flame of the judgment. This is God's judgment that is coming on. The entire world would recognize it as an act of divine judgment. Not only the children of Israel, but all the country around. Said, oh, God's hand's involved in this. Yes, it is. You can believe it or not believe it, but God's hand is involved in it, you know. That's judgment. Ezekiel would request that he be permitted to put it in plain language. Could I just speak to you in good old Butler County language? Can I just tell you what I think? Permitted to, in plain language, he was to speak towards Jerusalem, the holy place, and the land of Israel. And then God said, behold, to the people, I am against you. God tells them in verse 3, divine sword of judgment was about to come. Both the wicked and the righteous would be cut off. That's what it says. Well, you want to disagree with it or not? That's, it says that. All right, let's look at it a little bit. The nation had been guilty of adultery and the evil connection with it for centuries. The children of Israel has been. This is nothing new. It's been coming about long. God has endured with it from time to time. And more than once has allowed his wrath to be turned away by the plead of the prophets. Don't lay it on God. God's been long-suffering. But his patience was exalted at last, and now he's determined to carry out the extreme penalty that has been threatening. The nation was told in very decisive terms that it must go into captivity. I think we can agree to that. History backs that up. God said that's what's going to happen. You remember what correction was for? Discipline was for in the beginning part of this lesson? Was to bring them around. When we discipline someone in the congregation, is to save that soul. That's the motive behind it. Such reformers as Josiah tried to correct the corruption of the nation. There's been several to try to do that. Yet he and other reformers was told that nothing could be done now to prevent the captivity. Most have been gone for 10 years. Now the last group is going to go. Since the nation had become so corrupt as a whole that nothing but captivity could be cured it, leading to iniquity, which was mainly idolatry. I think that's the one lesson he's trying to teach. It might not be the only lesson he's trying to teach here. Yet there is always an individual in a community who are not in harmony with the corruption of the community as a whole, and who tries to avoid those corruption. Always. Even today. Even then. I can back this up by history. Men like Daniel and his three companions was a righteous man in captivity. Ezra, Nehemiah, and other was among those who was already righteous and brought themselves under the blessing of God. They was under the blessing of God. They tried to correct this. They could not. Divine favor was given to some and disfavor to others. Both wicked and righteous was to be cut off. In verse 3. In temporal judgment, the entire population of area would be affected. And that's what we have here. We don't have the final judgment. Foreign nations and other people besides Israel would feel the effect of the sword of the Lord. So I don't believe God asked them. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Or we both need to go back and do a little bit more reading. I know I do. I don't know about you. The difference. Let me explain this to you. Ezekiel had already taught that as regard of the final judgment, the righteous could not be destroyed with the wicked. Chapter 18. I'm not going back to look at that. I spent two class periods in that. We both have studied that numerous times, and that's what it teaches. We don't have to worry about that. If we were righteous people, well, I'm going to stand before the judgment and still be lost. No. No, you're not. The Bible doesn't teach that. But of necessity, in temporal judgment, the entire population of an area would be affected. And I see that here. Okay? Other people besides Israel would feel the effect of the sword of the Lord, which at this point in time was the Chaldeans. I think that's what it's teaching. Maybe teaching more? Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to go out on a limb, but I believe I can back that up. Okay? Even the foreign nations will realize that they have experienced a divine judgment. The sword of the Lord would come, would not return until the destructive work assigned it was complete. God said it won't come back. The Lord won't come back to me until it served my purpose. And my purpose is to refine the sin out of my people. Yes.
When I was studying this, like the tail end of chapter 20 and this chapter 21, one of the resources I was looking at made an interesting point that, you know, when you get down to that last verse, it says, is he not the maker of parables? It's like they still don't get it.
To me, they're making fun of him a little bit.
Yeah,
is he talking?
It's like, yeah. This terrible forest fire is coming. It's going to be very destructive. And it's like, oh, he's just talking to us in parables.
Yeah, they didn't want to believe him. I read that, they're making fun of him a little bit.
Right.
I don't know where they are or not, but that's what came across to me.
Right, and then when he starts with chapter 21, with the sword, there's no doubt.
You're right.
There's absolutely
the sword. When we'll get into the sword, it's polished, it's sharp, and it swings this way and that away, and it's destructive. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Most time when people does that, it's because they don't want to do them.
And that's what he's going to do, because you don't intervene with God's people.
You're right. Did I slip over one? No. Cindy and I have both been sick for several weeks, a month. I thought I was getting better. And I went out Friday. I was telling somebody, maybe one of my kids. I know Chris texted me Friday morning saying, you know, Bobby Blair's up in the I said, I know it. But I said, I am running about 3 hours behind. I cannot get there. And plus, I'm sick and I don't need to be there. So I told somebody at work, that was the hardest Friday I've had since I closed my office 10 years ago. By Saturday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I was done. Had everything in good shape. I'm getting a little bit better. I've taken so over calendar stuff that Dale recommended. When you got nurses and pharmacists in there, you don't need a doctor. So I don't go to them. They're cheaper that way, and I'm tight. Ezekiel was deeply moved by the revelation, and he was told not to hide his emotion. Is that a lesson for us? Sure it is. He would be bent double with the pain of the adamant. Remember we're talking about Ray Thomas? My mind went blank there for a minute. I don't know him just as well as anything. He preached all the time. I looked at him Wednesday night and he wore himself out in the service of the Lord. Just flat wore himself out. If I'm going to get worn out, that's fine. That's the way I want to be. He was just a good old country guy, just limited what he could do. But he was pretty good at what he did do. So he said, the pain is going to be so bad that you just don't, you're going to be bent over here. You know, you just. My cousin that just died recently, you know, a couple months ago, he had a big staff like that too. We went fishing a week or so ago. Adam cut me off one, made me one, because it's hard rock, walk up on those rocks, and it really helped. I got it, still got it at home. Next time I go up the lake, I'm going to take it with me. This is the message that the temple has been destroyed. When it gets to that point, it's going to be bad news for them. Every heart shall melt. All hands shall be slack. Every spirit shall be faint. Knees shall drop with water. I don't know. Maybe they're going to have kidney function problems. The reason that popped in my mind, maybe because most of my life I've had problems with kidney and bladder and stuff like that. Problems. I've been so bad that I went to the hospital more than once. So it can be pretty bad. Bad news was coming. Well, we get down to 8th chapter and verse 17. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. It's going to happen. You know, some people cannot understand the Bible, do not want to understand the Bible. You go in Mark 16, 15, 16, and boy, there's going to be all kind of disagreement. But you get to the thing where you treat everybody like the golden root. You generally don't have too much problem with that. You know what that tells me? They can understand one part. They can understand the other part. They just don't want to. And when you start talking to people, you'd be surprised what they come off the cuff with. Prophesy, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, said a sword sharpened and was also polished. I don't know what all he's going to do, but the instrument that symbolic of coming is going to work. They've been against wood and everything right here. And in other words, the impression is really, really good. And I remember when I was in the MP, we had standing inspection in the morning time. And I heard the captain tell you, the way you look has more bearing on it a lot of time than what you do. You got to be standing tall. You did not want to fail inspection. If you did, you had gate duty. And you had to stand out there and salute a bunch of second lieutenants, which thought it was funny because they had to drive by and you had to salute them all the time. I tried to take a photostat copy of their picture. If I ever ran across them down on the weekend on the town, I said, man, you're going to jail. But that's what he's trying to hear. I get the idea that sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. And should we make a merit of this? No, this is serious. This is serious. It despised the serpent of man. There's not going to be no more king. This king that we're living like right now is gone. Okay? And does it, as well, we probably tried to use some wood and everything, but I'm bringing the big guns this time. And he has given it to polish, and it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished to give into the hands of the slayer. In other words, they're going to be equipped.
Charles, you think about when you're sharpening just a pocket knife, you use some kind of honing oil to make sure you get it good and sharp. Because that honing oil will help to give you some of that lubrication to help you get that thing. And when you get finished with it, that blade is a lot brighter.
Yeah.
And you better watch out.
I remember when I was in high school, the fad was you take your belt and your pocket knife and you sit doing class. You wouldn't listen to the teacher. Everybody didn't. I did. You could tell I listened to it all the time. But you take it, sharpen that knife, you know, the whole hour. Then you take it on your hand and take it and see if it's cut the hair. You got it sharp then, if it does. Cry and wail, son of man, for it is against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terror, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh, because it is testing. And what if the sword despise even the scepter, and the scepter shall be no more, saith the Lord God. You therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword do double damage. Maybe a two-way sword. You know, you just go and come, you know, either way you want to turn it. Or whichever direction you're going to, the sword will take care of it. Okay? I set the point of the sword against all the gates that the heart may melt and may stumble. Ah, it is made bright. It is grasped for slaughter. Swords at the ready. Thrust right. Set your blade. Thrust left. Whatever your edge is ordered. Wherever I tell you to go, you go, and the sword's going to take care of it. Chaldean army, evil, wicked people. I didn't make them that way. I'm just using them because they're that away. They're going to serve my purpose. I also will beat my fists together, and I will call my flurry to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. That puts the end of it. My mama used to say something like, "What did I tell you, boy?" I mean, that's her. She was the final word of it. Dale pushed it all the time, but I never did. I'd tuck her at her word. A judgment is coming. The sword of the Lord is ready for action. The element of terror. Do you think I am joking about this whole matter? Just because I've been lax before, and if I'm lax now, Judah will be left without a ruler. Summons the agent of destruction. Slap his hand with that sword of divine judgment. Would slay many. Noah's